Nothing could be better than worshiping the Lord. It's absolute truth. Knowing His peace and filling up with His presence. And if we know Him, we worship Him. You know, always. There's a picture that I've had of not the picture of the Lord saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone opens it, I'll come into him." But more of a picture of there's an open door no matter where we are. There's a place to step into. Doesn't matter what is surrounding us, there's a place to step into. And it's not a door where the Lord is knocking, so we'll open it up. It's an open door. It's a place for us to just step into. It's a refuge. It's an ever-present help in trouble. It's there, you know. And by faith, I know that it's there. And it's not just there for me, it's there for everybody. And, you know, we don't, I'm going to bounce, okay? Because I've had 2 weeks of things rattling through my brains. And a lot of travel time to listen to the Lord and lots of time to just sit and write to Him and to just enjoy Him. And so, you know, it's like the Bible says to get understanding. But sometimes we won't understand. Our faith isn't built on understanding. Our faith is built upon the One who stands. You know, so a lot of times what the enemy will do was will get people trapped in the thing of, well, I don't understand. I just don't understand. And I've always said that, you know, sometimes you don't want to understand. Sometimes understanding will only confuse you more, but trusting will always, always take you through that door. We have to know Him more. We just have to. We have to. As I said, you know, all those years ago when I said, "For so long I lived without you, now all I do is think about you. Father, won't you please use me?" You know? I knew, for so long I lived without you, I knew that was true. And I knew that now it seemed to be He was the only thing I was thinking of, but I had no idea what "please use me" meant. I didn't understand what "take me and fill me with your spirit." I didn't know what that meant, really. I used to think you were just okay, good for all those other people that needed you. And each day I understood that because that was my understanding. You know? But I didn't understand. And as I look back 40 years later, I'm beginning to get a glimpse of what I was asking for. And I like it. I like it. I'll be honest with you and say that early on in my walk with God, there were some times when I wondered, you know, if it could keep going like that. And then there were some times when I observed people where it didn't keep going like that. I wondered, well, what's the sense in keeping going if it doesn't keep going? But I couldn't help but keeping going. And we were blessed to be here and blessed to have people who wanted to keep going as well. You know? Do you know how fortunate we are to want to keep going? To want to keep getting closer to God? Keep having a continued desire to go deeper with God. You know how fortunate you are? I just feel so fortunate I enjoyed last week just fine. You know? It was a nice little thing, and I could imagine things, you know? I could imagine the, you know, I used to do the Neil Diamond, I still do the Neil Diamond song, you know, Brother Loves Traveling Salvation Show, you know. It's a hot August night, and the leaves on the ground and the grass all around smelling sweet. Move up the hill to the sound of that good gospel beat. They had this stuff, had the gospel beat going, drawing in the place. Then the place gets suddenly still, and when you'd almost bet you could hear yourself sweat, he walked in. Eyes black as coal. And his face, every ear in the place was on him, starting soft and low like a small earthquake. But when he let go, half the valley shake. And it's love, brother loves, traveling salvation show. Pack up the babies and grab the old ladies and everyone go. And everybody knows brother loves show, you know. It was that music came in and the people were drawn in. And then the word. And lives were changed. So I could imagine that. Just old tent meetings, used to hear about people. But you know, the sad thing was, the people that told us about remembering the old tent meetings and whoa, what they were like. Oh man! But they couldn't go on at that level. What would people think? What would people say? We got to get over what people would think and what people would say. It's not important what they think or what they say. It's what you think and what you say. You know? This world is hanging on a thread for what you say. For what you know. You know. We need to consider what we know. And that's what's been happening of late. Of I've been thinking of things and words just boom drop into my head and into my heart. And so I take off with that word. And while I'm taking off with that word, boom, another word just drops in. And it's like I'm having a good time driving along with the word, with the Lord, and then I have this thought that those words are seeds. And then I have this thought, grow it or throw it. That's what we do with the Word of God. We grow it or we throw it. And then I was thinking this morning about, you know, some of those. Man, some of those words feel like boulders, you know. They're trying to knock sense into us. You know, some of them are sharp like a two-edged sword. And when I thought about that, I thought, you know, I sharpened our knives, and then I was doing dishes, and then, you know, what happens when you touch that real sharp knife? You know, something has happened. You first look at it and there's no blood, but you know something has happened. You may as well get ready. It's going to bleed. You know? Didn't really hurt. You just felt that slicing feeling, you know? It's not like hitting yourself with a hammer. That hurts. But that slice, you just know, you know? And so the word of God comes, and sometimes we just know, and now we got to decide, am I going to grow this or am I going to throw this? Sometimes it's the same thing that's come on numerous occasions, and we haven't grown it or thrown it. We've stored it. It's not like we've rejected it. But we just sort of kept it, like the clothes in the closet. that we don't put back on, but they're there. Or the shoes that are just there, you know? Or that little screw that we saved and we put somewhere that someday somebody's just going to throw away. Sometimes, Vicki, we talk about the idea we might as well throw stuff away. Kids will. Shouldn't make kids do that. But, you know, we did a lot of stuff for our kids, so maybe we'll just let them sort through it. You know, I mean, we have this. God is continually speaking to everyone, and we have those seeds because the sower sows the word. Words. One word can change your life. I think it's Kenneth Copeland coined that, or he at least took credit for it, or whatever. One word from God can change your life. One word. I mean, it's we know when we get the word. We know when we do. The question is are we going to grow it or are we going to throw it? Because every word from God is not necessarily comfortable. You know? It's going to bleed. You know? But it's going to heal. It's going to help. It's going to comfort. It's going to, when we let it have its perfect way with us, it's going to be like the greatest thing that ever happened. So we need to decide that we're going to grow every word from God. Every word. If it's from God, we're going to grow it. If it's not from God, we're going to throw it because we're going to cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You know, in 1 John 4, 7 to 10, verse 7 says, humble yourself before God. Then it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So humbling ourselves before God will strengthen us. And verse 10 tells us to resist, to humble ourselves before God, and he'll lift you up in honor. So humbling yourself before God's a good thing to do. Humble yourself, therefore, in the presence of God. As you're humbled in the presence of God, you're strengthened to resist the devil. And the devil don't want to be around people that have humbled themselves before God. He's got no authority. He's got no help. He's toast. Humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of God. He'll flee from you. And then humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of God, and he will lift you up in honor. We're not looking for honor. We're not looking for praise. We're not looking for anything, but I'm not going to argue if God wants to. I'm looking forward to him introducing me to heaven. He doesn't have to have a big band or a drum roll or anything like that. But I think it's going to be something when he introduces you in heaven. I think it's going to be more than we can handle. It's going to be such a wonderful honor. And so I want to be there. See, there was the word that started the word list that started bouncing in my head there. And that was in response to when I was talking about the Lord, Father in heaven, I need you so. Stand by me each day. Hear me when I pray. Take me and make me what you will. Me with your spirit, fill. And I was thinking, am I there? There was where I was headed, and I didn't know where there was. But we're getting there. We're getting there. You know, sometimes it's in that one day trip of getting there. We know where we are, and we're pretty sure we're not where we should be. We want to get there. And God guides us in that day, and that's where those things drop in that we grow or we throw. You know? And that, of course, reminded me of that. Get back, Jojo. Get back to where you once belonged. Get back. Get back. Get back to where you know where we belong? We belong with Him. We were created to be with Him. He wants us there. Where's there? There. There. If I'm here and I should be there, I need to go there. That's where that door is. That's where that place where I can just walk into. There. There, the ultimate there is there. There with Him. So maybe the ultimate there at all times is with Him. There. I'm getting there. Where am I going? I'm going there. Will we ever get there? Are we there yet? Those aren't just kids' questions. Are we there yet? Do I want to go there? Because some of those words that God can drop to us will lead us there, and there may not be the comfortable spot. As I've said, we've been binge watching Chosen. I think we're back to 3 now, aren't we? Yeah. But it's just been good to see. I'm not positive I watched all the other ones. I don't know if they just were bad. Sometimes we didn't have great reception, and it was dark, and it wasn't. Or I couldn't hear it right because it didn't have the closed captions or whatever. I don't know. But I mean, I've been watching. I say to Vicki, did we watch this one? But here's the thing that they're going through now is after Jesus gave his best message, according to one of the disciples. No, I mean, they've all been good, but that, you know. But, you know, the Beatitudes, the Blesseds, you know. But just things that he said were like, you know, you need to go and be reconciled, and you see the disciples, and you see other people and their families, and you see other people that were present for it, and it messed with their lives. And you have Matthew going back to his parents because he's got to be reconciled and saying he's sorry. And you have them, you know, love your enemies, and they're having to go out as partners with people that wouldn't be around anymore. And it's pointed out that that's who you were. It isn't who you are. You are not who you were. And you're not where you were. Your there is different now than your there was then. And in Christ, your there continues to be a progressive thing. We still have a ways to go to get there. You know? Now, I'm not just playing with words. You know exactly what I'm saying. Because the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. You're not children. You're adults in the Lord. And there is a place where it doesn't matter what seed the Lord drops in, you're going to grow it. You are going to, if it hurts, if you have to sort the hairs out of the food, you're going to eat it. Oh, it's a terrible picture, isn't it? Yeah, nobody likes that hair in their foot. Got something, you know? Yeah. Well, sometimes the word puts hair in your food. You know? But you'll get there. As long as you're determined to go there. So there's the ultimate first word in the list there. And from there, you can go there to that open door. And through the open door, then you'll be there. You won't know where it is, but you know you'll be there in that open door. And you know that if the Lord has an open door, when you get there, it's going to be good. Even if you don't like what you find there. Behold, the Lord says, I do a new thing. We want to be followers of God that want the new thing. We want to be one of them because we've been there. We can't help but be one of them. Because once we've been there, we're changed. We see things entirely differently. We feel things entirely differently. And we're not willing to throw that away. You know? I was what I was, and I was where I was, but I'm not there anymore, and I'm not him anymore. And I'm not willing to be him anymore or be there anymore. Some people are so trapped in religion that even if they don't like it there, they've got to stay there. In the Chosen, Nicodemus came to Jesus. And Jesus invited him to come along with them. And Nicodemus, he wanted to so bad, but I think he was ready to go until his wife started telling him, but I like my life. And I want my life. And you've got a great position where you are. And Nicodemus wept as they left and left them some gold. And Jesus said that's from a friend of mine who came very close to going with us. Don't you dare come close. Please. Don't come close. Go there. You know, another song comes. There's an old country song that said, I had her almost persuaded. Almost persuaded. Don't be almost persuaded. See yourself there before you get there. Because where he leads, I will follow. Where he leads, I'll go there. You know? I will. That needs to be our determination. That we will. wherever it is. There, that's where God wants me. There, that's where God wants you. And there will be the most wonderful place you've ever thought about being when we get there. Might have to clear the land a little bit. Can you imagine the pioneers that came into this country? The trip that they had to take. Sometimes they were where they were going to be because they couldn't go any further. But while they were there, they didn't have land clearing tools. They didn't have, you know. I know you've all been wondering, my skid loader's fixed. Now you'll be able to sleep better. I drove it home and it ran all the way home. It was too muddy to try. But if we don't get any rain tomorrow, I'm just going to drive it around on dry ground. I got things I can do with it that I won't bother to do, but I got things I can do with it. I'm so glad it's there in my yard. Yeah. When we follow God, we'll be glad that we're there. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear that he's messed up. We've just got to make sure. We've got ears to hear, and we know the voice of God. You can hear God. You can hear him. You know when a seed falls that it's a good seed. And you can grow it. It's not more than you can grow. It's just exactly the thing that will complete you right at that point. It doesn't matter when or where, you know. When God finally came and told Abraham they were going to have a baby in a year, it's like, it's too late now, Lord. It'll never work. Is it really anything too difficult for God? What? Why did Sarah laugh? I didn't laugh. You did too laugh. You laughed. Now get ready. Get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to go there? Whatever it is. There'll be a there today. There'll be a there tomorrow. And going there is the most wonderful thing we can possibly do. There. A lot of years ago, somebody asked me if I'd go to jail. I'm glad I went there. You've all got things, if you think about it, you've got theirs where you went. You've got theirs that you were a little hesitant about going to. You might have a there or two, but you might as well just make yourself a note and do it. Because that God might be, even today, bringing theirs out of the closet where they've been comfortably stored. And they may be wondering, why didn't I throw these away a long time ago? My wife's got theirs that she wants me to throw away a long time ago. We have a there. We need to go there for Vicky's healing. We'll take it. We're there. We're there. Not just knocking on a door, we're there. Well, we're there. Aren't you glad? We'll come to the end. We've done all the damage we can do today. Lord, thank you. Thank you. One word from you can change a life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm just open to all of the theirs where I haven't been, Lord. Anything at all, Lord, to be there where you want me. Bless the ears that hear and the eyes that see. And those who want to understand but don't have to understand because their faith is not built on understanding but on trusting you. We praise you. Thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We humble ourselves in your sight. We will resist the devil, knowing that he will flee from us. And we will humble ourselves before you and allow you to raise us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I sing because I'm happy.